I must confess myself that it is a variety of thoughts that touch me, things that are promised from God for this time we are in. They must come to pass, whether it suits us or not, whether we understand it or not. But one thing is for the little flock: fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. There is no fear in love. And we know the love of God is poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And however small the flock, it is the Father's good pleasure to give it the kingdom. The important thing is that we are His flock and sheep of His pasture, that we listen to His voice alone. Not that anyone gets the idea that we call this weekend the weekend of criticism, but you know, I've never done anything like that here these days. For the most part, I've wanted to be gentle, because most of you probably only know what is happening here without being affected or burdened from outside, especially from what is coming from overseas. And you don't want to burden anyone else with all the unnecessary things that are happening. But on the other hand, we know and recognize through everything what time it is on the world clock. And we have heard Brother Branham say again and again that no gift can be taken as a final sign, not even speaking in tongues can be taken as a final sign that one already has the free pass for the rapture. I have here, and this is not to shock anyone, but it says here now of a clergyman. You know what is meant by that. It says here, Father McCarty. That is the form of address of a Catholic priest who are addressed as Father. And then it says here, big and wide, you can read it yourself. He smokes a pipe and speaks in tongues. Yeah. But that's not rare. That's not rare at all. All America is full of tongue speakers in the Catholic Church, in the Episcopal Church, among the Methodists, among the Baptists, among the Presbyterians. Everywhere is full of tongue speakers. Everywhere. And one lays hands on the other, and each goes back to his original. Whether to call it worship or idolatry, I don't know. And does the same acts again in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and all that goes with it. They go on as before. And they praise this on all the pages of the magazines, that this is the miracle of our time, that the Holy Spirit has now fallen upon all, and that everyone remains as he was. Right? You understand? Everybody remains as they were, don't they? In the church, in the official dress, in the official act, in the whole course of things, everything remains the same. Only one thing seems to have been added, that now everyone speaks something. God alone knows whether it should even be called speaking in tongues. If I have read the Bible well, speaking in tongues means speaking another language that exists somewhere under heaven. And in the beginning it was understood in Jerusalem, and later Paul gave the order, if any man would speak in tongues, let it be two or three, and let one give the interpretation. that all may know what has been spoken by the Spirit. But what is happening today, no one understands the other, and yet they all speak. And you know, Brother Branham said, it's the time when the foolish virgins come to buy the oil. And he literally said, they have not received the oil of the Spirit, yet they all speak in tongues. And there we have it again. It must be so similar to the true. And they may say to us one day, what have you got ahead of us? Shall I tell you where this is also happening here in Germany? In the economical number, near Karlsruhe, where David Duplessis comes and prays for the Protestant pastors, and they all speak in tongues. It happens here as much as anywhere else, just not to the same extent as in America, and yet things are known here too. Whether it has anything to say to you, I don't know. For me at least, a book is advertised at a price of $1.95 by the Father McCarthy, who speaks in tongues and smokes the pipe. And there are enough people who spend this $1.95 to know how he manages to smoke the pipe and speak in tongues. Whether at the same time, I don't know, maybe one after the other. But the world, it is incomprehensible. But didn't Brother Ram say that there will come a time when you think that all things will no longer be normal at all, that things can't be classified anymore, and that only a remnant will escape to flee from destruction? We are thankful to God again and again, and I say it. There has not been in the last years in my heart such a deep gratitude to God, to what He has done in this time, as since this new year. I see some things differently. I see them more valuable and precious, more penetrating, and especially also in the impact in our lives. We feel that we have been granted a grace from God, that we can sit down at the feet of Jesus, that we can eat pure food. What does it say in the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 34? He says, was it not enough for you to drink pure water? Why must you stir up the last water with your feet, that others should drink the water that is stirred up? But we are grateful to God. He has given pure water to drink, and no one will stir it up for us. It doesn't come from any stagnant pool. It comes from the living rock, and no one can stir up the rock. Whoever starts stirring will hurt himself. He will hurt himself. Living water, holy and pure. And to speak again with the prophet Ezekiel, he saw it. From under the temple threshold, a river came forth. This is something glorious. The river has broken forth, and we may drink from it. Wonderful is the name of our God, and the word of the Lord in this time is more precious than anything. Anything could be taken from us, but not God's word. By it we live, and with it we die. I have had to think about this these days. What a privilege the servants and children of God had who were allowed to seal their testimony with their lives. Whatever the cost, we know who we believe in. And how we leave this earth is not important. What is important is how we arrive on the other side. If we walk here in faith, united with God and God's word, I believe there is no going back for us. There is no going back. There is only a walking forward, and the way is paved. And that God also gave in our midst the confirmation of the seven ages in such a way that each age in which a different color of the rainbow shone out nevertheless outshines each individual age with a rainbow. God has in this time, and always, we know it. Didn't I say it in my prayer last night? the Arch of the Covenant, over him that sat on the throne, and over him that set foot upon land and sea. The Arch of the Covenant was over his head, and in every one of the seven ages he kept his word and remembered his covenant and took out one of his men and opened his mouth and filled his heart and said, Speak that which I shall put in thee. And they all spoke the word of the Lord in their time, and the Lord rejoiced in it. We know there is still the battle between light and darkness. But this battle will soon come to an end. Then it will be said that the mighty angel comes down from heaven with a chain in his hand and seized the dragon, the old serpent. I can read it. He is still rampaging around. And that part of the prophecy is also as timely as it can be. We will come to Revelation 12 in a moment. It says here in Revelation chapter 20 from verse 1, And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Not even the Lord God is needed for this, to settle accounts with the devil. An angel comes out of heaven, takes him, and puts him down, and it says, a seal was set, that he should not do mischief during those 1,000 years. From the double emphasis of last night, that we have to realize on the one hand that the dragon is near and opens his jaws to devour. That reminded me today of the word from Revelation 12. As I was driving home from the morning service, it says here in Revelation 12, from verse 3, And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Up to here, this precious and holy word of God. The dragon stood before the woman to devour the man-child who was about to be born. We know, who knows the Bible language, we need only to go back to one church age message. That is a promise to the overcomers, and the overcomers are the elect. And whether they are referred to as the bride, to the bridegroom, whether they are referred to as the man-child who is raptured, or however they are called, it says here in Revelation, Chapter 2, in the message to the church to Thyatira, perhaps we read from verse 26, And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. Notice especially the promise to the overcomers. To him will I give power to rule over the nations, as one breaks clay jars into pieces. Here it says, in Revelation 12, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. It's a direct addition and runs parallel with the word, with a message to the church. We know it was addressed to the overcomers. On whom does Satan want to vent his fury? Certainly not on those who are left behind. He will do that later, when it is said that he turned against the woman who fled into the wilderness. First of all, the dragon's attention is not directed against the foolish virgins, but against the wise. Not on those who will remain behind, but on those who will be caught up in the rapture. For it says here, the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child, not the woman, but the woman, the church, not the church as a whole, but the overcomers who are born out of the church, for those who are to be raptured, to devour them. And if nothing deceives me, we are living in the time when labor pains have come upon the church. Zion has gone into labor and must give birth to her children. And we know that when these labor pains come upon the church, the birth is not far off. Many a travail is now coming upon the church of the Lord. Sometimes it hurts, of course. Labor pains are painful, but the birth must come. And what the woman gives birth to in that time are the overcomers. They are people who are raptured towards God and His throne. That is the group on which the dragon directs his attention in this time. With the others, he can still ring the church bell himself. That doesn't bother him. But the elect who escape him, read carefully with me. The dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Not the woman, but to devour the child that was to be born. You know that some things are in the singular in the Holy Scripture. Just as I said earlier, the term bride is in the singular, though an innumerable multitude may be numbered among them. The term is in the singular to make clear the relation to the bridegroom. The term woman, composed of who knows how many members belonging to the Lord's church, yet it is in the singular. And we know that even if these words, for my sake also the term virgins, although the Holy Scripture speaks of 10 virgins, we know that the kingdom of God is only presented in a way, in a parable, but that not only 5 will be raptured and enter the wedding. Then we could choose 5 and the rest could go home. It is just an example to say that half of those who arose will be there when the Lord returns and will enter into the joy and the wedding feast of the Lord. So here the dragon stands before the woman to devour the man-child. I know that this Bible passage is mainly interpreted in relation to Israel, but I beg your pardon. Nowhere in the Holy Scriptures, not once does it say that the 144,000 will be raptured. It says in Revelation 14, they stand with the Lamb on Mount Zion. Mount Zion is in Jerusalem. And there is only one rapture, and that is the rapture of the completed church of Jesus Christ that will participate in the wedding feast. Now here we see the dragon standing before the woman, but his eyes are on the man-child. But thanks be to God, he was not able to come close to the man-child at all. What the dragon did at that moment, I don't know. But I know that in the Bible it is written, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. There was no snatching. He may have opened his mouth. He couldn't close it because he had no prey. The mouth was open. The closing could not happen, because at the moment when the overcomers are ready to be caught up and born, God made sure that the dragon could not get hold of the overcomers. Then, if I may read on here, it says so wonderfully from verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Do you see what it is? First of all, here he stands before the woman to devour the man-child. Then, after the man-child is caught up, he is up again. And it says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. We have heard, we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers. And it says here, and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. The enemy still has access. He can accuse the brethren by day and by night. But in that day, all accusation is over. If he still wants to accuse the elect, Michael and his angels will finish with the dragon and his angels, and he will be cast down, and then he will come to this earth. Then it says he has a tremendous rage because he knows that his time is short. It says here from verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And now comes the wonderful word. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. In the moment, the overcomers are raptured. And you all know, this runs parallel with Matthew 22. When the wedding hall was filled, there was one crept in who had no wedding garment on at all. And the king says, friend, how did you even get in here? And he says, get him, bind him hand and foot, and throw him out. And the same thing is here. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Like at the time of Job, when the sons of God gathered, he was there too. And then when the sons of God, the man-child, is raptured, the battle is still in heaven, not only on earth. The battle is even in heaven. And it says that he had access to accuse the brethren by day and by night. But one thing is certain, the blood speaks for us. The blood of the New Testament, the blood of the Lamb speaks, and we have been granted mercy and grace. Even the devil cannot accuse the elect of God. He cannot accuse them, because the Lord has justified by His precious and holy blood and has given a complete victory by grace. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Isn't that something glorious? After all, that hour is not far off. It is not as if we were now in the times of Moses or Noah, or when the Revelation was written. We are living in the time when all this will be fulfilled. We are living in the time when it will soon go up. Last night, when we were shown so insistently, when it was shown so clearly how the dragon opens his mouth and shows his teeth and is ready to devour, we cannot but be reminded of this word. The dragon placed himself before the woman to devour the man-child as soon as he only comes to the surface. But there was nothing to devour. He was caught up to God and to His throne. And the dragon was still standing there. He had no prey, for the redeemed are the Lord's. Satan cannot touch them. He cannot devour them. Many are concerned that the devil will take many a believer. He will not take any believer at all. The Lord will take the believers, not the devil. The Lord will bring them home into His glory, for He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary, not that the devil should take them, that He should take them into His glory. And He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again, and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. This is the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we need have no fear at all. Even if such pictures are shown, that one could almost be afraid. There is no fear in love. And this word gives such clarification and such a comfort. The dragon stood before the woman, but the man-child was caught up to God and to His throne. And then the dragon arose and followed. Here he missed the access. Now he still wants to perform something up there. But Michael is already there with his angels, and they fight against the dragon and his angels, and all the power of darkness is thrown down. And then it says, woe to those who dwell on the earth, for now the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. But for those who are in heaven, to them is addressed a word from the Lord. Blank spot on tape. For then we also have already entered into the heavenly glory. For this is written after the rapture, and we see the joy will be great in heaven. For it says here, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Jesus said, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall save it. And we have given our lives away. We have given it up to death in order to have it back again in life through the grace of our God. And we know that He has prepared the way. And so it has been said, He has paved a glorious way, and no one can slip to the right or to the left in any way. The Lord Himself watches over this path that He has illuminated and that He leads us. And also that these seven gradations have been shown in the way that it started low and went higher and higher. We don't see it in all the church ages. Now it comes to a completion and a climax. namely in the seventh church age. It is not written in the days when the second or third angel trumpets, but in the days when the seventh angel trumpets, then the mystery of God is finished, as he revealed it to his servants, the prophets. And there will have been no time when these seven ages of time will have been seen so clearly as we are now permitted to see in retrospect by the grace of our God. The Lord himself watched over his word so gloriously. He was never late. Even when things sometimes looked hopeless, he made, as we have heard this morning, a paradise out of the chaos at the beginning, a Garden of Eden. But what was it? The Spirit of God hovering over the deep. Where the Spirit of God does not hover, there remains chaos and there remains darkness. But where the Spirit of God hovers, there the word of the Lord will resound. And wherever God's word goes forth, there it becomes light. And there the light is separated from darkness. And it is revealed that he who is of the light walks in the light. For the light and the darkness have nothing in common. The Spirit of God also hovered over the New Testament church, already indicated by the prophetic word in Zechariah chapter 4, that the bowl of oil was placed over the sevenfold candlestick with the seven pipes that laid the oil down on the lampstand. And here we come to the word, to the seven spirits of God. We see that God caused his Spirit to break through anew in these seven ages, and it hovered over the deep. And every time the word of the Lord went forth, the Spirit made it come alive. And it was people who could believe with all their heart and soul what was revealed to them by the Spirit of God. They laid down their lives by the hundreds of thousands in the course of the new covenant and did not consider it worth it because they saw and had in mind the reward that would come to them. God made sure that in all times when people received God's message, that they were bold and steadfast, not deviating an inch from the word of the Lord. They gave everything away, but held fast to the word of God. That is how we feel at this time. Never has God's word been and become so important, so precious, so great to us, as it is precisely in this time. And it seems, wherever we may read, that God is already talking to us before we begin to understand what it is all about. Already the thoughts of God are so vivid before us, and it begins to burn in our hearts. Even though the dragon has set himself up, he cannot devour the man-child, for he shall rule all nations with a rod of iron. We know the word refers to the millennium. But before we come back to rule and reign with him in the millennium, we will partake of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. This will be the cause of our joy and worship. And it says, cast down. You know what this means. When one is overthrown, it is not done with casual words. When you hear that such and such a one has been overthrown, then it went a little upside down. And at that moment, it will go haywire. Satan will still want to assert his hold somehow for the last time. But already Michael is there, and he has him, and cast down is the accuser of your brethren, who has accused you before God by day and by night. But then the word comes true. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. People who love themselves cannot love God, and people who love God cannot love themselves. People who believe God's word will have to deny their own word and themselves and say, Lord, let me speak with your language. Let me think with your thoughts. Fill my heart. I think now of the sermon of Brother Branham. He elaborated. I will translate it soon. He said, if someone made the claim that he had the life of Beethoven in him, you would expect such a person to be a second Beethoven. And he gave the other example and said, if someone were to make the claim that he had the life of Shakespeare, such a work would be expected to happen through him. And then he elaborated and says, if we bear witness to having received the life of Jesus Christ, whose works must we do? And the Holy Scripture says, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. It is the word of the Lord. He that is in us is greater than all things of the world. He is greater than all the powers of the enemy, and he has conquered all things on the cross of Calvary. When we say, he has taken dwelling in our hearts, what faith, what confidence, what certainty there must be in our lives when we say, the Lord of glory has taken dwelling in our hearts. There can be no more uncertainty and doubt and timidity in our hearts. When he, the Lord, has taken dwelling in our hearts, then he reigns, then he fills, then he will be able to reveal his life through us. What a grace has been granted to us by God to know that not one of God's elect will be missing in that day. And when seven times in Revelation 2 and 3 it is written, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh, and here it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Who were the overcomers in each age? Those who believed and received the word of promise. They went forward blessed. They did not use their minds to dissect spiritual things. They used the Spirit to put spiritual things together. Because the bad thing in this day and age is that dissect can anybody, but no one gets things together unless the Spirit of God reveals it and brings it together. The Church of God is like a prefabricated building. The material is all there. It's all there. It just needs to be put in the right place. Brothers and sisters, God has once again brought the seven eras into focus. He has reminded us once again, the seven stars are in my right hand, the seven angels to the seven churches. And as long as the Lord has them in his right hand, no church and no human being has them. And because they were in the right hand of the Lord, they could say what the Lord told them to say. Now we see everything in the glorious light. And when the prophet Isaiah writes, in those days, the sunlight will be 7 times brighter. I wonder in what light the whole counsel of our God now shines. Today, a little mother in our midst knows more as some have known who lived before. Why? Because it is the time of revelation, no longer the time of prediction, but the time of fulfillment. And when the Lord Jesus walked on earth, there were so many women who were around him, who served him, who left everything, and when they were possessed, he cast the devils out of them. Like the one, who was it? Out of the one, he must have cast out 7 devils. But they all came to him. There are people who say, if someone is possessed, then he cannot come to the Lord. That is not true. Even the possessed one who dwelt in the tombs, he came up to the feet of Jesus. When God has a plan for a man, he can dwell anywhere, whether in the tombs or under the tombs. When his hour has struck, he finds his way to the feet of Jesus. And the Lord delivers him, and he becomes normal and returns to his house and becomes a blessing to others. Brothers and sisters, we have all been here and there, but one day we came to the feet of Jesus, and he set us free, gave us grace, and clothed us with garments of salvation. And suddenly we feel fresh water flowing from the throne of God, and the river waters all who come near to drink of this water. It depends on the attitude in which we hear God's word. When we are touched by the word of the Lord and know what it is all about, seeking connection with God, that is what matters. I have already said this morning, what is the use of saying, I look up to the mountains, if you do not have the connection with the one who created the mountains? What good is it to say, I lift up my eyes to the heavens, if you have not found the connection with what the God of heaven is doing at this time? The prophet Isaiah pronounced, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. And the word of God they have set aside to proclaim their traditions. One's heart could break when one sees how the people of God have been robbed. And the prophet says, my people are a plundered people. But they are still made to believe, you have everything, be at peace. And they go on sleeping. But what will be on the day when we awake? I tell you the truth. I also had the opinion that we as the churches of the full gospel have everything. We have more than all the others. And then suddenly, when the word of the Lord was revealed, then I had to see to all of us the word is addressed. You say, I am rich and have want of nothing and knowest not that you are poor, blind and naked. Then we gathered at the feet of Jesus, and he gave us white garments and precious food, heavenly manna, which the others do not want at all. It is not meant for them. One could also feel sorrow about that, that some believe and others do not, some accept and others do not. But all this is in the hands of God alone. We cannot decide about it. When the Lord Jesus walked on earth, some believed, some did not believe, some received, some rejected. But the scripture says, as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the children of God, even to them who believe on his name. It is the same today. The Lord has spoken, and all who receive him in the way he reveals himself, not the way they dress it up or want to. With God, no one needs to fudge. With God, we have to take things as they are given to us. There is no other way with God. And that is why we are so grateful that He has given us the grace to believe childlike and heartfelt, to know that He has sent His word in this time. The dragon has walked along the path, not only in this time, along all the seven steps. He has passed by, but He could not go along that path. It is a sacred path, and the rainbow illuminated each step. The Arch of the Covenant. The Lord wanted to say by this, I remember my covenant. You can count on it. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the Lord knows it, that the dragon cannot bite. For the Lord will take His own home. Like lightning, we are gone, and the dragon is standing there. Suddenly he realizes it is too late, and then he comes up, but he also comes down quickly enough, because it is written of his abiding was no longer in heaven. He was cast down. And then it says, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. Already the announcement of the kingdom for the millennium is given here, because the overcomers have stepped up. The reign can begin, but before the reign begins, the Lord will serve us a meal. He will serve us a meal, as it is written, that we may sit down, and He will serve us. Again, I think of what Brother Branham said in tears. He says, I can see the table in glory, long, very long, and how the people of God sit down and the Lord serves. Brothers and sisters, all this is a reality. It is not a vain promise. The bow of His covenant is there. God stands by His word. Heaven and earth may burn, hills and mountains shrink. The dragon may open his jaws as wide as it will go. The Lord said, they are mine. I have redeemed them and called them by name. They are mine for time and for eternity. The Lord will lay the handiwork of Satan, and He will not allow him to touch the people of God. We will arrive at God unscathed, not by the skin of one's teeth, with a triumph, with the victory of Almighty God. We will enter into glory, not with complaining and lamenting and saying, Lord, it was tedious. It wasn't tedious at all. It was glorious to walk with Him. That's how we sing it. A little hard sometimes, but be honest, it all worked out for our good. God knew what He could allow over our lives, and more than we could not bear, He has not yet allowed. No temptation other than human has yet affected us, and no one has yet been tempted beyond His ability. God has still made an end that it could be borne. And when it is before us, though it may be dark, the Bible here, a fire-red dragon, the thing may not look good, but one thing is certain. Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. With that, the promise of God is given, and with that, God will fulfill it. What comes, that comes. Whether martyr death or whatever comes, one thing is certain, the dragon will devour none. Whether in death or in life, the dragon will devour none. We shall enter into the joy of the Lord, for He has said, I go to prepare a place for you, and then I will come again. And it's written in Acts 1, verse 9 and 11, that He was taken up in a cloud, and the same Jesus will come again in the same manner as you have seen Him going up to heaven. And this we read also in Colossians. He disarmed the powers of darkness and made a show of them openly. He crushed the head of the old serpent. For thus it is written, the seed of the woman shall come and crush the head of the serpent. It says, he shall bruise thy heel, but you shall bruise his head. The sting of death had pricked him, but he is life, and he has swallowed up the sting of death and has brought eternal life to light for those who believe him and has brought us out. In Hebrews it says, we were held in fear of him who had the power of death. It no longer says that he still has it. Had, past. The Lord is Lord over life and death. He is Lord over the whole universe. And the devil can do nothing unless it is permitted to him by God. He is permitted by God to seduce all who are his, but he is not permitted to seduce a child of God. God watches over his own, and he says, in the palms of my hands I have marked you. No one will pluck you out from my hand. There is no cause for fear, no cause for complaint. On the contrary, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Perhaps it may also be said, rejoice ye who will soon dwell in heaven. Why not? Such joy penetrates our hearts. We know they have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and have not loved their lives unto death. Therefore they are with the Lord always, because they have laid down their lives on the altar of the Lord. This morning we heard the sermon that we are to consecrate ourselves as a living sacrifice to the Lord, that ye may know and prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Not the permissible will of God, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the acceptable and perfect will of God is revealed in his word. And it is the will of God that we should receive all the words of his mouth, believe them with all our heart, and put them into practice. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Many a throne has been overthrown on earth in the course of time. Many a victory has been celebrated, but in that day it will be a victory and an overthrow such as has never been seen before. He that wanted to exalt himself above everything will be cast down and overthrown. But those who are in heaven will rejoice and give thanks to God, washed in the blood of the Lamb. They overcame by the word of their testimony, and they have not loved their lives unto death. What good is reputation on earth to us? What good is all this if we do not reach the goal? Oh, that God could set our eyes on the goal, so that we might lose everything else and regard it as void, in order to reach the goal that God has set before us. And the goal is the rapture of the completed and born out bride church, being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, made one with him, with the one who purchased us and loved us and drew us to himself out of pure grace and mercy. This is the time of separation. The Spirit of God hovers over the deep. The word of the Lord went forth. It has become light. The prophet says, arise and shine, for thy light is come. And in the New Testament it says, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So it is also in this time. It should become light at evening time, and it has become light. But the darkness and the children of darkness have not understood, but the children of light have understood it and rejoice over it as over the greatest prey. There is no comparison we can make to express what we feel about God's revealed word in this time. God has overlooked the time of ignorance and has now given his people insight as never before and a glimpse into the deepest mysteries of God. The dragon is there. He places himself before the woman to devour the man-child. We can read in the prophet Isaiah, Zion has come in labor and has given birth to his children. We can go into that to bring out the meaning of the called out of the church and the called out of Israel, the 144,000, to show what is meant by that in the Word of God. But for us now, let that suffice. The dragon has set himself up, but he cannot devour. He cannot touch, for we are God's own. And the Lord called out to us, we will reach the goal, we will make it. He leads us, and the way ends in glory. Heaven is not so far away as we sometimes think. Often heaven is very close. We just don't realize it that much. But the connection with God is just there. It is so glorious. I believe we have every reason and cause to thank the Lord for what he has done by grace. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you for your precious and holy word, faithful God. You speak to us in these days. You have set before us by the prophetic revelation the time we have arrived at, namely the time when the man-child shall be born out. You have already shown the dragon that arose, and we realize that you watch over your people and over your church, and you have led it in such a way that your word of revelation is proclaimed to say, be awake, my people, and be attentive, for what is written is going on, and what the mouth of the Lord has spoken is being fulfilled through all his prophets to this day. Almighty God, you are so present in our midst that we feel your presence. For behold, thou hast spoken by prophetic revelation and hast made known by the spirit of wisdom the word that is in the making and hast revealed it in our midst. Hallelujah to your wonderful name. Your light has risen upon us. You have shown us exactly where we are at and in what time we have arrived. Worship and glory be to you. Rejoice all of you, you who will dwell in heaven. For near has come the hour when God will finish his work and bring it to completion. Blessed, praised, and exalted be the God our Lord, who is and who was and who is to come. Hallelujah. Praise and honor, glory and worship to your holy name. Amen.